You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Now, most of us have heard of gluten, a protein found in grass grains such as wheat, rye, barley, oats, kamut, spelt. Now, these can cause a great deal of gut issues, allergies, and autoimmune problems within our body. The gluten-free industry is huge. We know that. Billions of dollars are climbing. Now, my next guest believes that, hey, we may be been actually missing the root of the problem, root cause of the problem of our health. In his brand new book, New York Times bestseller, The Plant Paradox, renowned cardiologist Dr. Stephen Gundry reveals that gluten is just one variety of a common and highly toxic plant-based protein called lectin. Lectins are found not only in gluten grains, but also in the gluten-free foods most of us commonly regard as healthy, including many fruits, vegetables, nuts, and beans. So great to have you here. It's an honor, Dr. Gundry. Thank you for being on Wellness for Life.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. Now, so let's talk about these quote-unquote healthy foods you're talking about that's actually making us sick today.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Plants don't like us. They actually were here first, and they had pretty good before animals arrived because nobody wanted to eat them. And as hard as it is for us to believe, plants don't want to be eaten. They actually have a life, and they not only don't want to be eaten, but they don't want their seeds eaten, their babies. So to protect themselves, because they can't run, hide, or fight, they produce some proteins that are called lectins. And the idea of lectins is to make an animal think twice about eating a particular plant by making the animal feel bad or not thrive. And a smart animal would say, you know, every time I eat these plants, I'm not doing very well, and I think I'll go eat something else. Unfortunately, when humans arrived, as most of us know, we're pretty stupid. And so when we eat plant compounds that we actually are told are healthy for us and then don't have thriving health, we take other things or anti-inflammatory materials to actually try to cover up what's actually going on. So gluten happens to be a lectin, but it's actually a very minor lectin in the scheme of things. And what I found, and other people have known, is that gluten-free foods are actually full of other lectins that are probably more problematic than gluten. In fact, one thing that is shocking, people who truly have celiac disease, which is the extreme form of gluten sensitivity, if you put them on a gluten-free diet and then follow them for 2 years, 73% of them will still have biopsy-proven celiac disease 2 years later by eating gluten-free. Mm-hmm. So that proves that it's not gluten that's the big culprit. It's the gluten-free foods, and those contain lectins. So I'm happy to give you some examples.
That's great.
So all grains have lectins. There are certain gluten-containing grains that have them, but for instance, corn and quinoa have some really horrible lectins that we were never designed to eat because corn and quinoa are actually American plants, and none of us are actually from America. We're from Europe, Asia, or Africa, and so none of us were exposed to an American grain, or for that matter, an American plant, until 500 years ago. When Columbus started trade, and getting to know these new lectins in 500 years is speed dating in evolution. The bean family, none of us ate beans until 10,000 years ago when agriculture got started. Beans have the highest lectin content of any food. The Center for Disease Control states that 20% of all food poisoning cases in the United States are actually caused by the lectins in undercooked beans. In fact, interestingly, the most famous poison of all time, ricin, the white powder we send to our elected official, ricin is the lectin of the castor bean, and one molecule of ricin will kill you. So it's amazing how plants protect their seeds. The other two American beans that are a shocker to most people are peanuts and cashews. These are not nuts at all. They're beans. and they have some of the highest lectin contents ever described. The lectin containing American seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, and chia seeds. And then there's the American nightshade family, potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers, and goji berries. Goji berries are not from China. They're actually from America, and they were taken to China in trade, and they actually grew really well in China. And then there's the American squash family, zucchinis, pumpkins, cucumbers. These particular plants, the peels and the seeds have the lectins, and that's why you'll notice in traditional societies they peel and de-seed tomatoes, for instance. The Southwest American Indians always peel and de-seed their peppers before they eat them because the peels and seeds have the lectins. So that's a host of things that we think are healthy for us. And what I've shown in my research is that if we take these foods away from people, that we can actually look at measurements of inflammation called inflammatory cytokines and see that they will absolutely disappear. And then if we reintroduce these foods, they'll come right on back.
Well, I'm someone that actually, I'm sensitive to beans for sure. But let me tell you, when I go to Mexico and I eat their beans, it's not the same. And I think it's the process of the way they cook their beans. But in America, if I were to go to, let's say, a Mexican restaurant and have some beans on a chicken taco, forget it. I will definitely have, you know, an irritation in my gut. So what is the difference between the way they're processing it down in South America, or Mexico, I should say, and different countries that may be different from America?
Yeah, several things. Number one, they use a much longer soaking period. Each soaking period of beans will remove lectins. It doesn't remove all of them, but it certainly makes them safer. There's a lot of cultures that actually pressure cook their beans, which makes them safe. Pressure cooking is the only known way to destroy all lectins except gluten. Interesting, there's a woman in the book, The Plant Paradox, who moved from Lima, Peru, and wanted to continue her traditional diet, which included lots of quinoa. And she developed a really severe IBS, and she was sent out to me in Palm Springs from L.A., and I kind of told her, don't eat quinoa. She said, well, don't be ridiculous. I've been eating all my life. And I said, well, I bet you haven't been eating it the way you've been eating it here. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I bet your mother pressure cooked it. And she said, her eyes went wide, and she said, yeah, my mother always told me you had to pressure cook quinoa or it was poisonous. And she said, I didn't believe her. I figured it was an old wives' tale. So since I've moved here to the United States, I haven't been pressure cooking it. And she said, you're not going to believe this, but my mother flew up here 3 weeks ago and said, you stupid girl, and took me to Bed Bath & Beyond and bought me a pressure cooker. And she said, so you're the second person that's now told me this. So I said, I'll tell you what, call me back in a month and let me know how you're doing. And she called me back. She said, yeah, you and Mom are right. Now that I'm pressure cooking quinoa, I'm perfectly fine.
Wow. That's a great story. Great story. I know I usually buy sprouted quinoa. Does that make a difference?
Believe it or not, it makes it worse. And now let me tell you why.
Kidding.
Yeah, sprouting, the newborn baby is actually at its most vulnerable. So the plant actually increases the lectin content of sprouts. In fact, if you want to produce cancer, colon cancer in animals, the best thing to feed them is sprouted grains. And if you don't sprout them, they have far less colon cancer. And in the book, we show the research that, in fact, sprouting grains makes them more deadly, not less.
Wow, that's an eye-opener. I mean, that's huge
heart.
Right now, what you're saying. Absolutely, because, you know, I go to my farmer's market, there's tons of sprouted beans, sprouted legumes, bean sprouts, and, you know, how about those, bean sprouts and mung bean sprouts? What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not a big fan of beans, period. We were not designed to eat these foods. We never, ever, ever ate a bean until about 10,000 years ago when we were able to start cooking things. And cooking definitely helps diminish lectins. In fact, there's some interesting evidence that cooking is probably what actually made us human. And that's a whole different story, but cooking actually breaks down plant proteins that we actually have no ability to do without gut flora. And so, you know, sprouting is not the panacea that people think it is. And in my book, I've got some pretty good research that shows in, you know, experiments what sprouting does. Darn it.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. It's definitely good to know. And you know, in your book, The Plant Paradox, I know you give a whole list of all the different foods, what not to eat. So far, yep. You've given us corn, quinoa, and beans, of course. And then we talked about seeds, especially pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds, as well as nightshades. These are a lot of vegetables and foods that we all love to have and are considered healthy. Now, what I'd like to know is, what are the foods that we should eat?
Well, we should eat what we were designed to eat. And what I tell people is I want you to party like it's 9,999 years ago, before we introduced modern food into our diet. My major at Yale was human evolutionary biology, and I can tell you that humans 10,000 years ago, both males and females, were over 6 feet tall. And our brains were 15% bigger than they are today. We've actually not caught up with what our brain size was 10,000 years ago. And so we were big brain creatures. And we actually shrunk dramatically when we started eating grains and beans and all these healthy foods. And it's really taken us a considerable amount of time to recover. So What did we eat back then? Quite frankly, we came from leaf-eating animals, the great apes, and we're designed to eat a lot of leaves. We're also designed to eat a lot of tubers, root vegetables, and this is another, I think, very good theory of what made us different than any other animal, because we could actually dig up tubers and roast them, and the resistant starches in tubers, like sweet potatoes, like jicama, like sunchokes or Jerusalem artichokes, like yucca or rutabagas. In fact, I was lecturing at Harvard and MIT this week, and we were taken to a restaurant where they had grilled and roasted root vegetables as a choice for dinner. And of course, that's what I latched onto, and everybody's saying, "You're having that for dinner?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what I was designed to eat." So it was a perfect example. The other thing that we were designed to eat is large amounts of fats, and particularly good fats. Olive oil, for instance, olives, avocados, avocado oil, the nut fats, for instance, walnuts, macadamia, pistachios, pecans. I eat a large amount of nuts every day. There's very good evidence that about an ounce and a half of nuts absolutely reduces the risk of heart disease. And also there's a good study out of Spain that it improves your memory as you age. So these sorts of fats are great for you.
So then nuts are low lectin foods, but
correct,
seeds are not.
Right. Quite frankly, plants have different ways of protecting their babies. So if there is a hard external shell that the plant can't imagine an animal can bite through, then it doesn't bother to put lectins on the inside. That's why things like walnuts and macadamia nuts and pistachios are perfectly safe. There are other certain seeds that have a very hard coating on them, even though they're small and they can't be digested. So things like flax seeds have no lectins, hemp seeds have no lectins, psyllium have no lectins. And the seeds of fruits in general have no lectins because the plant, and this is all in the Plant Paradox, the plant actually wants you to eat their babies. and their babies can't be digested. So you will walk away a little bit away and poop their babies out your rear end with a generous dollop of fertilizer, and that's a really nice trade. But
that's a very good way to disseminate the seeds.
Bingo.
Yep, got it. So then with certain types of seeds, they're okay. How about like sesame seeds?
Yeah, sesame seeds also are actually really good for you. They're an interesting seed in themselves. They have a lot of omega-6 fat, which most people think is bad for you. But they have a distinct omega-6 fat that actually blocks inflammation. And it probably explains why sesame seeds are the seed of choice in Middle Eastern cultures who eat huge amounts of otherwise inflammatory grains and beans. And what I do is I'm a cultural anthropologist, and I go and study why cultures adopt a particular food or particular cooking technique. And it's amazing how cultures, you know, change and try to get even harmful lectins tamed by what they do to them. I'll give you an example. I just filmed Dr. Oz last week, and one of the things we were doing is trying to show how traditional cooking techniques may have really helped people handle lectins. So, for instance, whole wheat bread or whole grain bread or multigrain bread is probably the most lethal food you can eat. But traditional cultures have always tried to make white bread. We've been trying to make bread white for 10,000 years, and only the poorer people got the brown bread. 4 billion people use rice as their staple, and yet 4 billion people choose to eat white rice and throw the brown part away. And one would think that there's 4 billion really dumb people, because brown rice is obviously so much better for you. But in fact, the exact opposite is true. And so you look at why 4 billion people do that. It's because they're throwing the lectins away.
Well,
and then getting back to bread, sourdough uses both bacteria and yeast to break down and eat the lectins in white bread. So if you're going to eat bread, sourdough bread is the safest, but it comes with proviso from the Italians. The Italians firmly believe that the only purpose of bread is to get olive oil into your mouth. It's a sponge. And that's actually, when I'm in Italy, that's the only way I'll ever touch a piece of bread.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm from Korea, Dr. Gundry, and my mother told me a story, and I won't ever forget the story, because, you know, she lived through the Japanese coming into Korea, as well as the Korean, North Korean, Chinese, right? So during the Korean War, she said that her and a family, there was no food, and white rice, forget it, there was no rice around, and they would travel, they had to travel leaving Incheon, which is on the northern section of South Korea, all the way down to Busan, which is down in the south. And she said that when they were walking, they walked all the way, there was no other way of doing it, they actually ate only sesame seeds, and that was their way of surviving. So that kept, I mean, that made a big impression of me when I was growing up, and I loved sesame seeds. So I'm really glad to hear that sesame seeds is a good food in your belief system as well.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Now, you also, I believe that you also really interested in the gut health and how the gut is the number one organ that we need to start fixing if you want to clear up your skin and fight disease, inflammation, autoimmune, and even cancer. So I'd like to hear a little bit about your take on that.
Yeah, you know, Hippocrates, as I'm sure you know, said that all disease begins in the gut. And the longer now I've been doing this, and the longer we now have really sophisticated blood tests to look for inflammatory cytokines, the more I'm convinced of that. And again, I was lecturing at Harvard and MIT this past week, and we were talking about brain health. And there's lots of now sophisticated methods of looking at the cellular level in the brain, why Parkinson's and dementia is occurring. and some beautiful papers by some very accomplished scientists. And I got one over in a corner, and I said, well, now, you know, you've all said that neuroinflammation is the cause of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And I said, but you didn't happen to mention what's causing the neuroinflammation. And actually, every one of these people said, well, we don't really care what's causing that because we're just fascinated that we found that neuroinflammation is the cause of Alzheimer's. Mm. And so my papers were actually that the inflammation that was happening in the brain was coming from the gut and from leaky gut. And it's actually caused by bacterial particles called LPSs, lipopolysaccharides. And I don't swear, but in the book I called them little pieces of, you know, fill in the word. So these are actually bacterial particles that get through the wall of our gut. And every time you eat, billions of these bacterial particles and lectins go through the wall of your gut and get into your bloodstream and your lymph system. And we can prove that they go to the brain. And what happens is that their neurons, the nerve cells of the brain, have bodyguards. They're called glial cells. And these bodyguards are designed to protect the neurons. And if they sense an external threat, like what they think is a bacteria or a lectin, they actually crowd around these neurons and to protect the neurons. But they do such a good job of kind of circling the wagons that nutrients can't get into the neurons, and the neuron actually dies. And so they actually were flabbergasted that it never occurred to them that this problem could actually be coming from as far away from the organ that they were studying as the brain. And if you look at traditional cultures who can carry a genetic, a gene that causes Alzheimer's, and I'm supposedly famous for treating people who carry the Alzheimer's gene with diet. And the Nigerians have some of the highest genetic tendency to Alzheimer's. They have more of what's called the APOE4 gene than any other people, yet they don't get Alzheimer's disease. And if you age match them to American blacks of the same genetic have much, much higher incidence of Alzheimer's. And we've actually traced this back to their diet. And the Nigerians eat large amounts of what are called resistant starches, so one of their favorite starches. They eat a lot of tubers, and they eat a lot of millet. Interestingly, there are two grains that don't have lectins, and they're millet and sorghum. And so the Nigerians just happen to eat a very safe grain that actually keeps their gut bugs happy, and it keeps these bacteria from getting through the wall of their gut. So a lot of these scientists at Harvard and MIT just never considered that they should look elsewhere for where the neuroinflammation was coming from. And Hippocrates knew this, you know, 3,000 years ago.
That's right. That's right. And more and more people are talking about it as you are, which is wonderful that you're speaking to the mainstream medical, the allopathic profession, because they all need to know this. And maybe they don't want to, it might not be their expertise, but they will then know, you know what, we need to direct these individuals who've got these chronic inflammation, chronic issues such as Alzheimer's. We need to direct them to other practitioners to actually together work on getting them, these people, well, rather than just going the drug route. So you're doing a great job doing that. Thank you. Now, is there a way to detox? Let's say you ate lectins and you start feeling really poor. Is there a way to cleanse it out of our body, detox it out?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in my book, we've got a 3-day quick start cleanse that was designed by a young woman in Santa Barbara who heads a mail order service called Catalyst Cuisine, and her name is Irina. And she's an accomplished chef who cured herself of rheumatoid arthritis by following the principles of my program. And so I had her design the first 3 days. And there's very good evidence that has been presented on Dr. Oz, and that I actually presented on Dr. Oz, that you only need 3 days to change the bacterial composition of your gut. And it's pretty fascinating that it only takes 3 days, but the proviso is you have to continue to keep mischievous food away from you, because if you then reintroduce mischievous food, your bacteria will go right back the way they were. And I spend a lot of time in the book educating people that there's essentially two sorts of bacteria, even in our gut. There's about 10,000 different species. But there's what I call good bugs and bad bugs. And the bad bugs love and thrive on simple sugars, and they love saturated fats. On the other hand, good bugs actually can't eat simple sugars and can't eat saturated fats, but they need very complex carbohydrates, resistant starches, and soluble fiber to survive. And these bad bugs actually send text messages to our brain that says, you know, feed me, feed me. And one of the other things that startled the Harvard and MIT folks was that bacteria can control human behavior. And it's well documented, it's well proven, but again, it's not their organ that they're studying. And so you're right, we need to have people in allopathic medicine make sure that we look at other areas of health to get the whole person treated.
Mm. Got so much to talk to you about. I can, again, you know, go on and talk more with you. The Plant Paradox, this is the book. It's a New York Times bestseller now, and really recommend everyone to go out there and get it for yourself, for your family and friends. And drgundrymd.com is the website. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Gundry. I've put the link on Wellness for Life radio show page on Radio MD. For more information, you can again go to gundrymd.com. Okay, then, until next time, live your best life full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate wellness today. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural health strategies on Wellness for Life right here on Radio MD. Stay well.